spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Ready for the best in soccer talk tonight, self-proclaimed. I hope you are also throughout the show. The number is 713-780-3776. That's ESPN. And we are brought to you by, as always, as the voice of God told you, the Daspit Law Firm. 713-CALL-NOW, DaspitLaw.com. That is if you need the best in personal injury attorneys. If you want mediocre, you go somewhere else. I think you want the best, and that is the Daspit Law Firm. Again, it's DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. Big thank you, and a happy birthday to Jan Christensen of Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. We'll talk about him tonight, but Jan has been a big supporter of Soccer Matters for many, many years, as has Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. All right, a lot on the docket here tonight, a lot to get to. We have a lot of AFCON talk. We will talk directly, believe it or not, we will go right to the Ivory Coast. It'll be about 2 o'clock in the morning there, but we will go there. And we will talk with Sam Mbonu of the African Sports Network. And we're looking forward to having Sam on the show tonight. So we'll talk AFCON. We'll talk Copa del Rey. Super Cup was played this past weekend in Italy. We got FA Cup finalists now. So we'll start it off here today. Everybody fell in love with Morocco during the World Cup. Well, Morocco scoring a late winner here today against, well, not a late winner, but they get a 1-0 victory over Zambia. Hakim Ziyech in the 37th minute would score the lone goal.
The skill that these guys have. Amrabat. Boufal. Hakimi. It's spilled, and it's there, and it's Hakim Ziyech who puts the Atlas Lions ahead.
So Morocco has advanced after really getting the world to kind of fall in love with the Moroccan national team at the last World Cup, getting to the semifinals. In Spain today, we'll go to one of the games there, the Copa del Rey. Iñaki Williams putting Athletic Club ahead of Barcelona. This is the fourth goal in extra time at the 105-minute mark. Actually, the third goal, but this would ultimately be the game winner for Athletic Club over Barcelona.
Mira cómo llegan desde atrás a robar la pelota y se puede venir por dentro ahora el Athletic Club, la última del primer tiempo extra. Dejan pasar a Tiñá que le pega. Ahí está palo adentro. ¡Gol! ¡Gol! Del Athletic Club, Iñaki otra vez. Iñaki lo hace 3-2.
Full-time, 4-2, Athletic Club putting Barcelona out of their misery. Times are tough for FC Barcelona. Over the weekend, the Super Cup final in Italy, that's played against between the Coppa Italia winner and the regular season winner. 90+1. Talk about drama. Lautaro Martinez scoring the goal for Inter Milan. They win 1-0 over Napoli.
Alexis Sanchez, Pavard. Carrying on his run, Pavard comes in for the Martinez! As ever, they ain't that hero! Lautaro might just have won this Super Cup for Internazionale!
So Inter Milan picking up a piece of hardware over the weekend, and in the FA Cup today, Liverpool advancing, not the FA Cup, to the Carabao Cup final with a goal from Luis Diaz. He would score in the 11th minute. It would end 1-1.
Luis Diaz. And by goalkeeper and post, Diaz has scored for Liverpool. And no wonder Bernd Leno is frustrated by that.
So that would be 2-1 on aggregate for Liverpool. So it'll be Liverpool and Chelsea squaring off in the Carabao Cup final, and that will take place at Wembley in February. All right, time for a World Cup 2026 update here, brought to you by Soccer Matters. Now, being nicknamed, quote, the Roar of Thunder, now that's a lot to live up to. The world of football continues to lose its giants. This time, the great Italian star Luigi Gigi Riva, who scored 35 goals in 42 matches for Italy. Now, remember back then, players didn't get called up and this many opportunities for national teams. So 42 matches was a lot to have played, and to consider that he scored 35 and 42 is pretty remarkable. He is Italy's all-time leading goal scorer, the Azzurri. Forever associated with Cagliari, where he scored over 200 goals, led them to promotion and their only Serie A title ever, and that was in 1969-1970. This was a club where he was beloved by Sardinians. Post-playing career, became a big member of the backroom staff of the Italian national team, was there with Marcello Lippi when Italy won the 2006 World Cup. In fact, from 98 to 2013, that's when he was involved in some capacity with the national team. So rest in peace, Luigi Gigi Riva, 35 goals in 42 matches for Italy. That is your World Cup 2026 update, produced and given to you by Soccer Matters, which, by the way, we are one of the host cities in 2026 for the World Cup. And, of course, what we do know is this. We do know that Dallas is going to get the World Cup final. So that is some of the latest news that has come out as well. Now, we put the question out. Who would be, if you had your choice, who is the one player that made you fall in love with the game? Who would be the one player that made you fall in love with the game of soccer? I put a picture and an image up on social media of mine, which would have been Johan Cruyff with the Netherlands. I remember the Dutch against West Germany, 1974 World Cup. Went to Madison Square Garden. They put it on closed-circuit TV. 18,000 people in there, all West Germans or Germans and Dutch. But I just remember the Netherlands, you know, with the long hair and the beads, Ruud Krol, Wim Serbier, who actually played here in Houston briefly in the 80s. But Johan Cruyff was the talisman and leader of that team. And he was the guy that I just, the explosive acceleration, you never saw, well, I won't say never, but the way he dictated and orchestrated a game was just something to watch. Guillermo, what about yours? Who was yours?
I got to give it to Rafael Marquez.
I knew it.
Defender of La Selección Mexicana. He was a player for Barcelona. I remember as a little kid, my mother's name from my mom's side is Marquez, so my grandma convinced me that he was my uncle. And forever, when I was a little kid, I was a little six-year-old kid, believing that Rafa Marquez was my uncle, one of the best at the time, like according to my family and according to me. He's the reason why I'm a Barcelona fan. He's the reason why I played as a defender when I played when as a little kid. So, and after that, it was just history, all I can say.
That's a good one. All right, 713-780-3776. Who's the player that made you fall in love with the game? JM says, Ronaldo Phenomenon. So that is the Brazilian Ronaldo, who played at a number of players, PS places, PSV, Inter, on and on. So Ronaldo Phenomenon, that's a good one. We've got, let's see, Thierry Henry from ENGGG Sports. Thierry Henry's a good one. Tell us yours. 713-780-3776. Dawn Crow, who played her college soccer at the University of North Carolina, was an excellent player. Brian Robson, old school, she puts. I like that one. Let's see. Who else we got here? This was all on social media, but we'd love for somebody to call in live with your the player that made you fall in love with the game of soccer. 713-780-3776. By the way, it could have been your brother. You know, it could be a lot of different people. It could have been a guy you watched in college. Could have been anybody. Andre Luciano says Zico, the famed Brazilian. Chris the bad guy Ronaldinho. Dave G says, he's why I ultimately played center back in high school. And he's got a picture of Franz Beckenbauer. That's a beauty. Matthew said, from the Wichita Wings, here's a cool one. Norman Piper. Gotta love it. Wichita Wings used to sell out indoor games like there was no tomorrow. 713-780-3776. Who is it? Rushan has Maradona Mateus. Never heard of that player before. Maradona Mateus? No. He's saying Maradona and Lothar Mateus. So he gave us two. Simon in the Park picks Dennis Bergkamp. That's a good one. AKA says original OG Ronaldo with Brazil, the original. Chelito Delgado with Cruz Azul. Ooh, I like that one. That was a good one. And then Ronaldinho and Messi with Barcelona. Habib says there are plenty of African players that are in the tournament now, the AFCON, that will sign for less money to come play in the U.S. Thought I would drop that one in. Well, make no mistake. MLS is definitely looking at that. Half Nielsen says Thierry Henry. He means Thierry Henry. He also whipped out Ronaldinho, Carlos Valderrama. And I'm not going to say that about Ronaldo. He was a fantastic player. All right. What's your call? 713-780-3776. Harry Kane. TSG Vicario fan says Harry Kane. Brian Neal says Roy Keane of Manchester United. Stacey Allen Smith is with me. Cruyff. Let's see. Coach Jerem. He says, the stars of the English Premier League during the early 2000s. My favorite was Steven Gerrard. How about that? He also tells us why. He said he could play the 6, the 8, the 10, even could put in shifts as a winger and a striker. I like that. John Pinella says, a 1977 Chatham Township High School team. That was the team I was on. We were actually 22-0. There were two undefeated teams in the New Jersey State that year. Us and Steinert. The two teams combined basically for the state team with guys from Kearney as well. Dan Canner, who played in the NASL. Harry Dietrich, myself, a couple guys went pro off that team, but a ton of them excellent college players. Guy like named Greg Dennis. All my friends growing up. We all went to Cosmos games as well. 713-780-3776. Of course, DJ says Pelé. We got Chris is goated with the sauce. He likes Ronaldinho. And let's go to the phone lines. George, I think, has a pick here. Who do you got, George?
My pick is Gheorghe Hagi.
Oh, what a beauty. Romania. Tell us a little bit about Hagi. Are you Romanian, sir?
Sometimes. He was the Maradona of the Carpathians, sir. I don't know if that comes with a vampire attachment, but he definitely was a legend, sir. I mean, some of the best 10s were probably in that 94 World Cup in the U.S.
And they had those distinctive kind of yellowish-orange jerseys. That was a great team. Mention a couple of the other guys that was on that Romanian team in 94.
Well, you had the famous Adrian. No, Mutu wasn't there. So you had who was at Chelsea at the time. You had Popescu, who was playing at Real Madrid. You also had Ilie Dumitrescu, who also went and played in England, but then he got in trouble supporting women. But hey. But yeah, there was a legendary team. That loss to Sweden still hurts today. We could have been the top four in the world, but man, that was a top Swedish team.
And Gheorghe Hagi continues to be a big part of Romanian football right now. He's got a soccer school. He parlayed that into a first team where he moves the players to the first team. He also sells them to the other top teams in the Romanian first division.
Well, Well, sir, I'm very impressed. Your knowledge about Romanian soccer is the best. So, indeed, he is. I think the press kind of got to him. You know, today's society is all about, you know, making excuses. But he pretty much said, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, and got tired of being fired by incompetent owners. And he decided, you know what, I'm going to start my academy. Sure enough, you put a team in the league. You got to come from the lower division, starting the fourth division. And you know what? 5 or 6 years later, they were playing in the Champions League.
It's a remarkable story, and we need to get him on. But we're up on a hard break here with Desmond Dekker and the Israelites. George, thank you very much for the phone call. Nice chat there on Romanian soccer. And you know, I got a great friend in Houston named Bogdan Pasadu, who's Romanian, who's taught me a lot about Romanian football. We appreciate that. All right, Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. 713-CALL-NOW. 713-CALL-NOW. DaspitLaw.com. We are very proud to have had John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm here helping kick soccer off on the radio and being such a staple of the sport in our town. Also, by the way, LamontBrands.com. Go there, get your Soccer Matters hats, get your T-shirts there. All to support the 501c charity called the Snowdrop Foundation. We're going to come back here in a minute. We're going to literally go to the Ivory Coast live. It'll be about 2 o'clock in the morning over there. African Sports Network, Sam Mbonu, who has been attending a lot of games, doing a lot of interviews, is going to give us some thoughts from the African Cup of Nations now. And we will also come back and remind you who has advanced into the knockout stages. All right, Desmond Dekker takes us to break.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, that's Frankie Goes to Hollywood doing a cover of Bruce Springsteen's. Well, you know the song. I don't even have to mention it. Today, African Cup of Nations rolling on. A reminder, we'll be back on the air tomorrow night, 7 to 8 p.m. And we remind you of Hugh O'Connor's Pub on I-10 near the Marquee Entertainment Center. It's a great place to go and watch. Well, obviously they have all the Premier League matches, Liverpool supporters group out there. But it's a great spot. Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10, near the Marquee Entertainment Center. Great whiskey and beer offerings. Tremendous pub food. All the great fish and chips, you name it. Great burgers. It's there. Get the podcast of this show. Subscribe at Apple, Google, and Spotify. But you can also access it by coming to our website, ESPN975.com. All the little hits, all the subscriptions, helps keep us on the air. 22 years we've been doing this. A big thanks to ESPN 97.5 and Gal Media for the support of the game, the World's Game, and, of course, our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Okay, today, Cameroon, they get the winner over Gambia. Christopher Wu, this was drama at its best, 90-plus one.
Cameroon still have a chance. They need a winner. It might come here, and it does, potentially, by Christopher Wu. Celebrating a potential winner mere minutes ago, it is the Cameroonians who now get to celebrate.
Mauritania winners against Algeria. Yali Delahi in the 37th minute.
Jump from the corner. Curling ball, Mandrea punches it away. Long range effort. Spilled and could be. Mauritania have the lead. A 37th minute strike by the captain Delahi.
Morocco with a 1-0 win over Zambia. Hakim Ziyech in the 37th.
The skill that these guys have. Amrabat. Boufal. Hakimi. It's spilled. And it's there. And it's Hakim Ziyech, who puts the Atlas Lions ahead.
So it's on to the knockout rounds of the African Cup of Nations. It'll begin on Saturday. So here are the matches that we have. Angola against Namibia. Namibia, by the way, the first time ever getting to the knockout stages. Nigeria, Cameroon. Looking forward to talking to Sam Mbonu about Nigeria. They will take on Cameroon. That's a spicy one. Equatorial Guinea versus Guinea. Equatorial Guinea, leading goal scorer of the tournament, is Emilio Nsu. 5 goals in 3 games. He plays in the third tier of Spanish football for Intercity. Former Mallorca, former Middlesbrough. He's never been a prolific goal scorer, really. But what a remarkable story that is. And the African Cup of Nations kind of, you know, puts out these amazing stories. Egypt, Congo, Cape Verde, Mauritania, Senegal, Ivory Coast, Mali, Burkina Faso, Morocco versus South Africa. Let's bring on the man who's in the Ivory Coast right now. It's the middle of the night there. He has been all over the place covering matches, doing interviews. African Sports Network, Sam Mbonu. Sam, how are you?
I'm good. Good. How are you?
I'm great. All right, take us into it. What's it like being there? It's just so dramatic to watch it on TV, the passion for African football, all these countries and nations on display. Just give us your sense of what it's like to actually be there.
Well, for the contest, it's 1:25 a.m. here in Abidjan, the capital of Ivory Coast. And watching the game live at the stadium is quite different because you have the feel of the weather, first of all, it's hot and humid. And that kind of has been affecting some players that play in Europe, you know, coming from the cold temperature. Now you're playing at, let's say, 32 degrees Celsius, and it's humid. That's why the during the game, they observe rehydration break, you know, like 15 minutes to stop for the players to, you know, rehydrate and stuff like that.
Correct.
And also, you will hear the drums of the fans. You know, Nigerian fans, they have these very unique sound, drums and trumpets and chants, you know, when they are supporting Super Eagles. And also, you will see fans from Cameroon, Senegal, dressed in their unique mask, you know, get their body painted. And stuff like that. So it's a very, very unique and special feeling, you know, inside the stadium when you're watching it live versus when you're watching it, you know, in your living room. But in all, it's been a very, very tough AFCON for the big teams because, as you can see, a lot of them are struggling from the group stage, you know, up to the last group matches. You saw Nigeria drew their opening match against Equatorial Guinea 1-1. They went ahead and defeated host country, scrapping 1-0 penalty win. And a lot of fans went into overdrive with that performance, thinking that the Super Eagles have found their mojo. Let me use that word to describe. They have found their feet. But their final game against Guinea-Bissau, we were just lucky giving the fans an own goal. So it's been a lucky, you know, win that the Spurs have been having. And they're in the last 16. And who knows, you know, when the stars align, you might be in for something surprising. But the big teams are struggling. Ghana, in Accra right now, Ivory Coast have to, you know, come into the back door because Morocco defeated Zambia. So this year, AFCON has given fans something that they have never expected.
Yeah, you heard what Sam Mbonu just said there. Ivory Coast, the host nation, getting in the back door. And as I was watching this, you know, I always want the host nation to do well and go far in this. But think about it. No Black Stars of Ghana. No Algeria. Algeria won it in 2019. No Tunisia. So we've got some big clubs out, as Sam mentioned. Sam, what about Nigeria? Not necessarily very impressive, but we also noticed that sometimes teams and tournaments begin to find their game and grow into the tournament. Do you see that from the Super Eagles of Nigeria? And I want to remind people that is Sam's team.
Yes, you know, let me give an example. In Copa America, Brazil, Argentina, these are favorites, you know, and their fans and their SAs, you know, expect the team to go far and win. So also Nigeria in the African Cup of Nations, 3 times champion. The last time they finished as a bronze medalist, first place finish. Last time they won it was in 2013, the left Stephen Keshi. To go all the way to the finals, where they beat Burkina Faso in the finals. So, with the slogan of the team, let's do it again.
Let's do it again.
So I asked one of the players during, you know, one interview, how and why did you guys adopt that slogan? Because the last time was a perfect finish. Is that what we're doing again? Senegal, they are the only team with 100% record. 3 matches, 3 wins, 9 points. And that is an intent that they want to win their crown again. So now, Nigeria, the coach, Jose Peseiro, has come under fire because of his last lost performance. He's very scared to make changes, can't take a risk. The current African footballer of Victor Osimhen of Napoli hasn't been prolific in this tournament. 1 goal in 3 matches, even though his presence on the pitch can create fear in the minds of the defenders. But so far, so good. Guinea-Bissau was able to contend him. Ivory Coast was able to contend him. Now we are playing Cameroon. Remember the last time we met Cameroon? In the last national stop, Nigeria defeated Cameroon 2-1. So now we're meeting Cameroon that also struggled during the group phase. Even though, yeah, they beat Gambia in their final group match, but this tournament, they are still struggling like Nigeria. So this is a game of 2 teams that haven't really found their feet. And whoever makes the less mistake might end up to win the match.
And those are 2 teams because, that can platform each other into a better tournament, right? A win over Cameroon for Nigeria and vice versa for Cameroon over Nigeria is the type of game that might platform you onto better things, improve confidence, and take you into another stratosphere in a short tournament.
Yeah. If Nigeria should go ahead to win Cameroon, that would boost their confidence going to the quarterfinals. Yeah, now, you know, Senegal is playing Ivory Coast. I don't expect Ivory Coast to win that match. But sometimes, you know, you can have this lucky escape and at the end of the day, you see yourself huffing and puffing into the next round, But Ivory Coast, the moment Morocco and Zambia game ended, the fans took to the street to celebrate here in Abidjan. Because they knew that they were in. And now with the host country still in, that will still bring fans to the stadium. You know, we don't want to come and see empty stadium because the fans are no more there because the host country crashed out, you know, at the group stage. So yeah, it's a good thing that Ivory Coast were able to scrap into the next round.
He's Sam Mbono. He's over in the Ivory Coast right now. You follow him on Twitter, Sam Mbono. At Sam Mbonu, that's SAMMBONU. That's at Sam Mbonu, SAMMBONU. He's posting a lot of great interviews. He had one with Victor Osimhen of Nigeria, Napoli. He's doing great work over there. He's on the ground at the African Cup of Nations. Sam, thank you so much for calling in tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Matt, I'm going to sleep.
Yeah, get some sleep, Sam. Get some sleep, my man.
All right, good night. Have a nice day.
Thank you for the effort, for being up late, and we appreciate all the insight. That's Sam Mbonu, African Sports Network, again, at Sam Mbonu, S-A-M-M-B-O-N-U. So, like I mentioned, we have all the knockout rounds pretty much set up. So no Ghana, no Algeria, no Tunisia. It's pretty remarkable. A couple of notes here before we hit a break, and then we're going to come back in the next segment. And in the next segment, you're going to be a little bit surprised about this, but Do you ever wonder what clubs are doing transfer-wise? Like, who's the best when it comes to making money with transfers, and who are the worst? We're going to go through the top 10 on each side of it, and you're going to be surprised. And this doesn't include academy players, and this is going to be between the time period of 2014 to 2023 per CIES, who put together a lot of this data. Couple of things here. This show has been on the air 22 years. He returns home. Chicharito is back at Chivas in Mexico. Remember, Hector Herrera came out and said he was hoping that maybe Chicharito could play here in Houston with the Dynamo. By the way, I had correspondence with the former Dynamo, Albert Elise, who is being courted apparently and connected with Vancouver, LA, New England, and San Jose. But Albert let me know he'd like to come back to Houston, Texas, La Pantarita. Would you like him back here? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. We got the Copa America here in Houston this summer. We already know we got Mexico, Jamaica. We got two group games. We have a knockout game. We got the Gold Cup next summer. World Cup 2026. World Cup Finals is going to be held in Dallas in 2026. That's big for the city of Dallas. But I'm glad, honestly, it's in Texas. I don't want to see it on either coast anymore. You know, it's good that Texas gets a World Cup final. We should be happy about that. It's going to be easy for us to make the run up there. May not be easy to get tickets. So we got a lot going on. Tomorrow night, Bill Brown, the author of Baseball's Bizarre Season, he will be on the show. So we got a lot going on. When we come back, we're going to tell you who's good at transferring players and making money and who's not good. That's really simple. All right, take a break here. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 brought to you by John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. You want the best in a personal injury attorney? It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Car, boat, motorcycle, type of accident you get in, they will represent you. They will work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. Rolling Stones, Angry.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. The talented Guillermo Lazo Romero doing the producing. We remind you, hit us up at Glenn Davis Sock, at Soccer Matters GD on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook Soccer Matters. And you can also go to glenndavissoccer.com if you want to learn a little bit more about the host. We got a number of things to talk about here tonight, but we're going to start off with what I teased during that break, and that is, what are clubs doing transfer-wise over the last 10 years? And we're talking about the time period of 2014 to 2023. So it's essentially 10 seasons. Now, you might be surprised here about some of the things I'm about to say, and maybe you won't be. So let's start with the clubs that are doing the best when it comes to selling. Number one, Lille in France. $420 million over that time period taken in. Pepe, Osimhen, Botman, a number of the players that have been sold. Number two, Ajax in the Netherlands, $345 million. Manchester United was tapping into them, right, with Lisandro Martinez, Anthony, Frankie de Jong, another one that was moved by Ajax. So that reputation of developing players continues. RB Salzburg. Now, remember, Red Bull New York in Major League Soccer, Red Bull Leipzig in Germany, and Red Bull Salzburg. So Salzburg, $253 million. And guess who a lot of that was acquired from? Erling Haaland's transfer, right? So Red Bull Salzburg, they come in at three. Number four, Monaco, $237 million. Tushimani, Bernardo Silva, a couple of names there that were moved on. And then RB Leipzig. So between Leipzig and Salzburg with Red Bull. I mean, you got 500 million between the two teams, close to it. They did 235 million. Sassuolo, 226 million from Italy. How about that? And then they're followed by Benfica, Atalanta, Eintracht Frankfurt, Sporting in Portugal, Hoffenheim in Germany, Genk and Bruges in Belgium, Atletico Paranense in Brazil, Nordjylland in Denmark round out the top 15. So those are the best at moving players and transfers and taking money in. And the clubs with the highest losses, I think you would figure this out, because they're the ones with the big money, is Barcelona, 687 million. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Guillermo, FC Barcelona fan. What do you think of that?
I mean, I don't want to blame it on the previous owners, but there was a lot of money being splurged on some questionable players, and that's what I'll say to that.
Yeah. Now, we have to remember, these clubs have all these other revenue streams, concessions, parking, merchandising, ticket sales. But this is strictly from the transfer piece of the business. Chelsea, $526 million. Three biggest losses. Who do you think they include?
Modric, Enzo Fernandez, and Caicedo.
The three biggest, Jorginho, Pulisic, and Rudiger. The three biggest. Chelsea's had I mean, they were spending money like a drunken sailor. Right? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Arsenal comes in at number three, 475 million. PSG, 447 million. These are the clubs with the highest losses. Manchester United, 357 million. Fred, Matic, Mata. Milan, 324 million. That's where Christian Pulisic is now. Having a great season. Aston Villa, 279 million. Everton, 275 million. Liverpool, 271 million. Juventus, 238 million. And then they're followed by Crystal Palace, Real Madrid, Spurs, West Ham, Inter, Stoke City, and then a handful of Chinese teams that were playing in the Chinese Super League, which. That was another very strange situation in China, all of a sudden splashing money trying to create a league. I don't think that's the way you do it. Saudi Arabia is trying it, and awful lot of guys not happy there. Benzema wants out. Jordan Henderson's now at Ajax. I think what I heard from Benzema was that, you know, European team is going to, the minute a guy comes into their market and their team, they're going to do everything they possibly can from the standpoint of logistics, taking care of them, doing all the things you can do so that their focus is strictly on football. I don't think that's happening based on what he's saying with the players in Saudi Arabia. So in some ways, you're kind of on your own a little bit more. And I think a lot of the players don't like that. I don't think Benzema likes it. And you know what? The Saudis don't care. You know what? Go home. You can leave. Doesn't matter. We'll just take the money and we'll go buy somebody else. They don't care. So it's a little bit different, I think, over there. And I think culturally we had to think that some people wasn't going to work. 713-780-3776 tonight. 713-780-3776 tonight. We'll go again tomorrow, 7 to 8 Central Time. I've got the former Astros play-by-play man, very talented man, Bill Brown will be on the show. He's got a second book out. I might drop an Astros question or two to him. Might even put him on the spot and ask him what he thinks about the game of soccer. But that'll be fun. That'll be a little bit out of the box. We'll leave that for the final segment tomorrow night. 713-780-3776. So the Ivory Coast, as the host nation, only won one of three matches in group play. And, of course, they fired their coach, Jean-Louis Gasset, and replaced him with the former midfielder, Amerce Faye. And if he'll be in charge in the knockout stages, they advanced as one of the fourth-place teams. Lamine Yamal, despite the fact that FC Barcelona was knocked out of the Copa del Rey, He became the youngest player to ever score in the Copa del Rey, 16 years of age. Miroslav Klose has stated that there is a lot of differences now between the types of players that are coming up through the system based on, obviously, when he did. And listen, you would think that, right? You would think that. Klose now, it's hard to believe, is kind of considered old school. Miroslav Klose, one of the greatest goal scorers in World Cup history for Germany, said, quote, "I stopped playing football because I no longer recognized it. Today, young people think about other things. As a child, I only thought about training and becoming someone in the sport that I always loved. At Lazio and in the national team, after each training session, I put myself in a bathtub full of ice to avoid injuries. But the young people in the team systematically refused. When they saw me picking up the bags of balls to put them away at the end of training, they said to me, quote, but who tells you to do that? At that moment, I said to myself, you're 20 years old and you can't help a 60-year-old worker? They care more about whether their cleats go with their socks. That's what I said, stop. The football I knew no longer exists. Today's young people think first of cars, contracts with their sponsors, and their new crampons. What's that? What's a crampon?
Couldn't tell you.
I don't know. Well, anyway, I don't know what that means. It is only after all these things that football comes. For them, their image is the most important thing, whereas for me, all that matters would football in its purest form. Thoughts? What do you think about that, Guillermo?
I mean,
listen, it's obviously a perspective coming from old school. We don't know what Miroslav Klose might have done if he had social media and the ability to use technology. It's just different. And I think it's harder for people at that age now to see the focus flaring out in a lot of different areas. When back then you didn't have, you know, there was still temptation. There's no question. It was just in a different form. It was relative to the times. And I think they see a lot of, and I agree with this part of it. I see a lot of talented players that their energies get split with a lot of things. And it's not 100% focused on football. And as talented, crazy talented as some of these guys are, they're never going to achieve and be in that little upper, you know, half a percentage of players that, you know, just nobody's ever going to forget, right?
I agree. And, you know, like how you said, it takes some kind of mentality to be in that top percent. But at the same time, it's these players, these modern players, they're facing the same challenges that we are in the everyday society. It's just these cell phones, social media, it's all an obstacle. And some players simply hurdle over it and some do not. And that's where things go that way.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I mean, a lot of younger players might not even know who he is. I mean, Germans will. Nobody should make fun of Miroslav Klose, top goal scorer in the history of the World Cup. Living legend. You know, he was on teams with Philipp Lahm, Michael Ballack. That was a star-studded Germany team. But modernization of the game continues to go on. It's a lot about different things. You know, I see youth soccer players. They have more gear than I had when I was in the pros. I mean, it's incredible. But things move on. Things get different. Things change. 713-780-3776. What's that?
I want to let you know that Brandon Vasquez, new player from Monterrey from FC Cincinnati, scores right now for his first start for the team, and which is good. I'm a Monterrey fan, I had to tell you. But
yeah,
in previous shows, we've talked about how this isn't a lateral move and how the spotlight shines on you more in Liga MX and the MLS, I would say. There's more criticism. There's more, just more
pressures.
More pressure.
Pressure's far more intense down there at Monterrey, and I think people miss that. I think they miss that because they're too focused on MLS versus Liga MX. But when you talk about that market in Monterrey, that's, and he came off the bench a game prior, got his first little feet wet there. So that's fantastic. I love hearing that. That's a great move. That's great for MLS. It's great for Brandon Vasquez. Everybody's happy. Here's another one for MLS. FC Dallas's owner Dan Hunt to the Observer up in Dallas. Quote, "We are looking for a major acquisition here. Could be the highest dollar spent amount ever in the history of FC Dallas for a player." Key two words there are could be. Could be. But speaking of FC Dallas, Spartak Moscow in Russia moved in for Jesus Herrera. They wanted to give him $13 million. How about that? MLS stepped in saying no deals with Russian clubs. Herrera wanted the move, as you could imagine, right? Put him in another stratosphere financially, as did FC Dallas, by the way. So there you go. Former Dynamo Memo Rodriguez on trial at Sporting Kansas City. He was at the Galaxy and Austin FC. And we do know now that Liverpool's going to face Chelsea in the Carabao Cup final at Wembley Stadium. That will be in February. Liverpool again got by Fulham today, while Chelsea 6-1 over Middlesbrough. Another little tidbit here. Mallory Pugh Swanson, who had the bad injury, did not get to go to the World Cup. Highly talented player. Is now the highest-paid player in the NWSL. Prior to that, it was the Dynamo's Maria Sanchez, which that was kind of surprising. But Mallory Pugh Swanson now, who, by the way, was coached as a youth player by Lauren Donaldson in Colorado. He's now the coach at Chicago, and he's her coach at the pro level, which I think is a pretty fascinating, pretty cool story. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. All right, Chicharito going back to Chivas, 35 years of age. Question is what can he actually produce there? There's obviously going to be a lot of loves and hugs and kisses that he's going back to the club that helped to develop him. I think that's a great story. Remember his time at Manchester United. Here's Sir Alex Ferguson, his coach at Manchester United, talking about Chicharito.
Chicharito. It's your old boss here. First of all, I want to congratulate you on your return to your old club, back to Mexico, where it all started, where I found you, signed you, and you were a great, fantastic player for us. You had a great career. I think now when you go back to your old club, you have an opportunity to add your experience and give your experience to all the players there. So, regards to your family, have a great time. More goals to come. All the best.
Well, that'll be the question. Sir Alex posed it for us. He said more goals to come. We'll see how many more that comes. At Manchester United, he had 37 in 103 appearances, did the loan to Real Madrid. Then he went to Germany. He was an absolute, I mean, he was scoring like a goal every two games at Bayer Leverkusen. I don't know. I might have stayed there. Then he goes to West Ham, kind of slowed down there. Sevilla. At the Galaxy, 38 goals for Chicharito in 74. He's based on movement and mobility, so we'll see if he can get it back for Guadalajara and how much he actually does on the field. All right, that's going to do it tonight for us. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. For producer Guillermo Lazo Romero, I'm Glenn Davis. Don't forget, subscribe, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts. Get the podcast. Give us the clicks. We need them. ESPN975.com. And until tomorrow night at 7 o'clock Central Time, remember, soccer matters.